Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for November 22nd, 2006. I am going to be talking very fast today because we don't have a lot of time. And it's not Retronauts' fault this time.
It's the Retronauts' fault.
Okay, it's the Retronauts' fault.
It'll always be the Retronauts' fault.
We got to skate through here because it's the holiday and there's like 10 people needing this room in the next hour. But anyway, I'm here with the cast and crew of GFW Magazine, which includes
Ryan Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
Sean,
Sean Malloy.
Sean Malloy, I have not been giving you props for the last month or two now of being the man on the mixing board. So thank you.
Sean the engineer.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we're just no
problem. Hooray. So
I have no idea what I'm doing.
We're going to get right to it. And we're not going to talk about it much because we know what we're supposed to be talking about. However, it was a huge, huge week in the console world. So, yeah, we're acknowledging that that existed. The Wii came out. The PS3 came out. I don't know. Did anybody here? Darren, you have a PS3, right?
Yep, I've been playing it.
And the rest of us do not. And do any of us care to even have one?
I don't care.
You know what? It's a great Blu-ray player, but otherwise I'm going back to playing PC games.
Yeah, whatever. I'll want a PS3 in a year. I see nothing to play.
That's exactly it.
With
most new console launches, I don't get what the rush is for. I mean, it's just
I don't either.
It's like everyone's racing to get it. Say they have, bragging rights, say they got it first, but really, the good games don't come out for 6-7 months after the
Wii. I can see because of Zelda, but with the PS3, I just feel like the second day these guys take it home and they're like, "I got one first." Like, aren't they going to be sitting in their living room going, "Oh,
right"?
Actually, most of those guys are trying to sell that stuff on eBay as quick as possible.
Yeah, whatever. I'll see you in a year.
Some people I just spoke to were insisting that this isn't news, but it's good to hear again that the NVIDIA 8800.
Oh, totally.
It's not only a substantial leap over the 7800, but they're insisting that people that are affiliated with a very prominent developer are insisting that it's the biggest jump in graphic cards tech since the introduction of the original GeForce.
I want
that.
One.
Yeah. So in terms of the consoles, that they were just happy that for once, instead of having to wait 6 months until after next gen consoles launch to catch up with the PC or to leapfrog them, in this case, they say that that the 8800 is light years ahead of what PS3 and 360 can do.
Well, it's exciting.
NVIDIA
it's expensive and exciting, but
it's all relative. I mean, like, you think about it, like, back in the day, you had to buy, if you wanted to get the performance out of this card, you'd have to buy like two 7900s or 7950s, and each one of those cards cost $600. And here you got one card cost $600.
And that will, of course, go down.
Yeah, it's all relative. I mean, there's already, like, lower cards. Like, there's going to be a GTS version that goes for $450, which is still going to be a solid performer.
It's still a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, when people are complaining,
but hey, we got something to say.
But we got something.
Yeah.
But actually,
our ish destroys your ish.
Well, the thing is, like,
we got shinier giant crabs,
shinier spacesuits,
more grease.
Well, the thing is, since NVIDIA provided the graphics for the PS3, they had an early jump on knowing what the next gen was all about, so they could leapfrog themselves pretty quick.
Mm. Yeah,
and they said and large, developers were requesting higher grease content. They want to be able to make it shine.
They want that
shiny grease.
They want that shellacked action figure look.
That's a
everything.
Bullet point on a game box. shiny
greasy characters.
What was that Crisco City Killer?
Everything.
Bet on Soldier.
Bet on Crisco.
Bet on Crisco.
Bet on Soldier. Yeah. And then there was also the Wii, and I think two of the GFW members now have Wiis. No, three. Oh, not two. I'm sorry.
That was mean.
Pour the salt.
I'm
the
sorry.
Wound.
Poor sad Ryan.
You guys gloat all you want. I didn't, like, those of us that don't have them didn't wait in some crazy line.
I didn't wait.
The bunch of mouth breathers. And
I don't care.
They need a neck beard remover attachment for the Wiimote.
And now Sean Malloy has one. Be nice.
He doesn't. A neck beard. I mean, like,
not a neck beard. A Wii.
Oh, that's fine.
And
the neck beard flowed.
How did you get it? How did you get it, Sean?
Stood in line overnight.
Sean Malloy waited overnight in line.
Sad moment in my life.
I know a buddy of mine.
Grown man.
What did the conversations in that line sound like?
Yeah, were you aware that in every Zelda, Link, the protagonist Link, is actually a different character? Much like Batman. Why don't they anybody else for us? But in the various incarnations over the years.
I will write a blog about this.
Now, let's not be condescending, Sean. Zelda's a good
Ganondorf?
Series.
Nemesis? Will he appear or will he not?
Of course, you know all the characters, so you're giving yourself away.
All you had to do is play one of them, and you know the characters.
Yeah.
Is there a Zelda?
Yeah, that was the conversation.
Just
and about how they were flipping Link around because he was right-handed in the Wii.
Right, now he's Holy no, he was left-handed.
He was left-handed.
Call the continue.
That is a scandal.
It is.
When you talk about Zelda or Wii, you have to end all questions and confirm deny. As for example,
Link's left-handed now. Confirm deny.
Do you think that Link switching from left-handed to right-handed, did that influence GameSpot's notorious 8.8 score?
Of course it did. How could it not?
It would have been an 8.9 if Zelda was left-handed. Or an 8.7.
Yeah.
I'm not making fun of GameSpot, by the way. I'm not. I was actually happy that their review scandal displaced our review scandal. So
I don't even know why it's a scandal, though.
It's stupid that it was a scandal.
An 8.9.
How did this happen?
Like, it was scandalous before people had even really begun playing the game in any number, you know? Yeah. So it was
All of a sudden, like, now...
Zelda's an automatic 9.5 to 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How dare you go below that?
Suddenly, it's like the revolt of the internet crowd. Like, every review
happens.
That comes up is, you know,
it's
now.
It's not suddenly.
This isn't
it's been
new.
That way forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's... You know what's different, though, is that, like, I guess... Well, yeah, you're right. The fervor's been there too. I think we're stupidly responding to it is probably the difference. Like I responded to the Neverwinter Nights thing, and then GameSpot responded to the Zelda crowd.
Yeah,
I think
defensive.
The thing is we have to ignore you, Fox, listening to this podcast. That's the answer.
It's like with Neverwinter Nights, for example. Like you just couldn't win. I mean, you tried doing the right thing, and then someone jumps on you for being like, "Oh, thank good to back down." I'm like, no, we were trying to do the right thing. So.
This thing is ancient history now. It's the internet half life, as Sean Molly said, is passed on this story. But I, in retrospect, I'm glad we pulled it, and I'm glad I wrote the blog explaining why. I'm happy with the new review up there, so...
All is well.
All is well.
Yeah, but some hack wrote it the second time, right?
He was, yeah, but fortunately he didn't get paid. okay, so one last console thing, which is just, I need to give Ryan his couple minutes of woe here. Online woe. You know, be cathartic here. Get it out of your system, Ryan.
It's not
sharing,
that big
sharing
a deal.
Is caring, right?
Oh, it's not that big a deal. Well, you've been like in tears in the office for 2 days.
What the hell?
Trying to get a Wii. He's behind me, and every like 5 minutes, I hear him call. Hey, do you know if you have any more Wiis in?
Hell yeah!
He's calling Toys R Us,
but
like,
it's no
New York,
big deal.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get one if I'm not calling.
Confirm, deny, dude. Toys R Us, in New York.
Deny. No, I waited in a line for 3 hours to be.
How
called.
Far did you drive to get to that line?
Wuss.
We were in Central California to visit my parents. Like,
okay.
Coincidentally, you know.
Okay.
But I figured, you know, small Nowheresville town, I'll have an easy time getting a Wii here. Mm-hmm. And I waited for 3 hours to be told that I was number 21 out of 20.
Oh.
Wow. You could have just been home playing a PC game.
Yeah.
That's a lesson to you, young man.
You could have been playing Guild Wars. True.
But the whole time, he's like, you know, this would probably be so much better with a Wiimote. Like that's the epitome of new games journalism. You have to ask in every case, wouldn't this be better with the Wiimote?
What would we do?
Ew.
Yeah.
So don't go there.
So this weekend, which was all that crap, I was very busy playing two PC games. And I didn't care at all. I got very addicted to 1701 AD. So I wanted to give that game some props on air because it's one of them little games that doesn't get a lot of press. It's big over in Europe.
Yeah, don't the Germans like it?
Yeah. That was not a real fart.
No.
Let's try to not have one of those this week.
Clarify.
But it's one of your city builder economic sim type games, which many of us love. Ryan, you're a fan, aren't you? Of that genre. Yeah.
Quit coveting your neighbor's Wii then and load up the 1701 you've already got.
I'm very happy with it. I've not played a city builder like this in a long time.
Did you play the previous games in the series?
I did not. So, and
can you make Hoovervilles?
You can. You can make
medieval Hoovervilles. That's the important part.
Yeah. Anachronisms.
Usually that's what happens with my cities.
Can
anyway.
I make a Hooverville?
I want more of a Levittown myself. You know?
No.
Is it comparable to something like SimCity or Tropico?
It's kind of like somewhere in between a SimCity and a Tropico, say. Okay. There is combat, but I haven't got there yet, to be honest, and apparently it sucks from what people say, but I'm not confirming or denying that because I'm not there yet.
I don't like when city builders try to throw combat into the...
Yeah, I don't either.
It depends.
That was your criticism of Caesar 4, wasn't it?
Right.
It's real-time combat. Like, does it switch into some other mode that's different than what you play? Because, like, you could say Civilization has combat.
Yeah, that's different, though, right?
Right.
I mean, you're not, like, lassoing units and throwing them at the other
right.
side, right? I mean, that's just more... It's, like, abstract mm-hmm. in Civ.
So you're saying it's this that's...
I think in 1701 it's actual combat.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. But what do I know? I'm only playing it. And Age of Empires 3 is the other one that I'm getting into. That mainly because in the first issue of GFW, we gave the expansion War Chiefs a 9. So that got me excited. I hadn't played it, but so I booted it up, and I'm very happy.
So the War Chiefs expansion really makes a big difference in him.
The War Chiefs expansion, I mean, Tom Chick said it in his review. And, I mean, they did, like, they kind of Age of Mythology'd this.
Right,
like, they
right.
took it away from the historical realism and just kind of went for it with the Native Americans, which is really interesting because when I interviewed Bruce and the team way back when they were first making Age 3, they were super concerned and conscientious about the historical accuracy, especially in terms of the Native Americans. You know, it's a touchstone. You don't want to, like, have, you know, Tonto in there going, woo, 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 woo. You know, you don't want to have, what's the guy's name?
Tommy
Cleveland
Hawk.
Indians.
Oh, no, Tommy Hawk from Brave.
Chief Wahoo.
Yeah. Chief Wahoo. Yeah. Smoke peace pipe with white men. No, I mean, they were very concerned not to do that. And so...
Dude, I got to stop it for a minute. Uh-huh. The war cry is, ay, 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 ay.
That's what I see in Enigma.
Yeah, yeah. Pure Moon, Volume 5.
Yeah, that's what they were trying not to do.
So, I totally got the Enigma reference. What the
so,
hell?
And, you know, they were having meetings with, like, Native American scholars and history professors around the country. I mean, they were taking it really seriously when they made Age 3. And, you know, to their credit, I think it was probably the right thing to do, you know, to not step on anybody's toes. And there were big debates. Could the Native Americans be a playable race? They didn't know what that, you know, how that was going to be perceived, you know, if you could fight as Indians. So, but in the War Chiefs expansion, they kind of said, eh, whatever, it's a game. And they probably didn't do it that way. I'm quickly summarizing. But they did let you, now you can play as Native Americans. And the interesting thing is, like, you know, they're kind of like the magic race now, you know? They have, mm-hmm. like, they do, like, wacky spiritual things, you know, like you can become invisible and things like that. But, you know, it's cool. In terms of gameplay, it's good. Like, it added this, like, nice, yeah. creative element that just the same as Age of Mythology had.
Right.
So gameplay-wise, it's good. And, you know, but I don't know. Can Native Americans really turn invisible? I don't know much about them.
You played Prey, right?
Are there ninjas?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Everything in that is true.
They can go to that spirit realm and then come back. Yeah. Damn, it'd be cool to be Native American.
I could turn invisible and...
Shit. Why'd I have to be white?
What's bad? Some kid somewhere is going to go into class, in history class, and he's going to be like, you know, why are you trying to tell me it had to do with European horses and steel and germs and stuff when these guys clearly, they're able to turn invisible.
Spirit
fireballs.
Yeah, if anyone's learning history from Age of Empires, it has other issues.
So has anybody else been playing PC games?
Yeah.
Is it just me?
No, actually, yeah. I've been foraging around with the freeware boards for...
For 101 free games.
That's right. We're bringing back the legend. That's it's probably the best and worst time for me because I have so many. I find so many great games, and I have to narrow it down to 101 free ones. You know, good free ones.
Mm-hmm.
And this year is actually going to be really cool. A lot of
that's
good stuff.
Our February issue.
Yeah.
The February issue of GFW is going to have our annual 101 free games.
The February feature. Issue that's going to be coming out in December, right?
Right.
Something like that.
January. Right.
January, whatever.
So that's 101 reasons not to buy the games.
We're talking about.
Right. The games that we're talking about or that our advertisers pay to advertise in our magazine. So get them just to screw our advertisers.
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to throw this out there. If you guys
tell them Jeff sent you.
Kick him square in the nuts. Actually, if you, I'm just going to throw this out there to anyone listening. If you come across any cool freeware games, send them, you know, send it, put them up on the boards. Let us know. You know, I'd love to include extra stuff in the magazine if I've missed it.
If I make one, would you put it in there?
Especially if you make
one. Awesome.
Make a mod, Jeff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What are you playing, Sean? Since you're dissing the consoles this week.
I'm not. I've been, like, in between computers. I'm just about to get this new rig set up. And the first thing that's going on there is Gothic 3, which I have on my desk, waiting to put that on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See if the boards have been fixed.
Well, Jeff,
that and a couple things, you know, I just want to, it basically now I'm like in anticipation mode. I want to play that. I've still been meaning to get around to Flight Sim, which has been, you know, likewise waiting for the new computer. Mm-hmm. And then I've been away on business for our,
you have been.
I've been away somewhere visiting some people for some cover story.
You and tease.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Can't you tell us?
You big flirt.
Can't. No, that's the one thing you guys know. I haven't even told anyone here in the office what it's about.
That's true. That's you haven't. You asked me if secretive. I wanted to know, and I said no.
Yeah, I almost caved in.
Really?
Yeah, I almost caved in.
Sean saw something secret.
Yeah.
Shh. We'll never secret tell.
Secret to us, even.
Secret to us, I know.
It's a secret to everyone.
Well, I'm leaving for Boston on Monday to see the Titan Quest expansion.
Hey, I thought it was a secret.
Oh. That's not a secret.
That's not a secret. It's already been blown in some other magazine.
But you're getting, what, hands-on with it?
Yeah, I'm getting the hands-on.
True.
True that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Travel-heavy month, yeah.
Well, actually, Jeff,
to go to Dallas next week.
Were you playing Gothic 3?
No, I was not. I got the box, but I gave it to Sean.
Okay.
Because I got all busy with my strategy games here. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, a patch just came out for it, apparently, so maybe they did refix that stuff.
For Gothic?
For Gothic 3, so.
Malloy, I know you have a Wii.
Yeah, well, before the Wii.
Yeah.
And before Viva Pinata, I was playing Medieval 2.
Ah, yeah. Right. You reviewed it.
We still haven't gotten copies in the office. I want to go buy that one.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I have trouble with that series.
Get it on Steam.
Yeah. I've had trouble with the Total War series, to be honest. I respect it. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge its goodness, but I find that game very hard, personally. Yeah.
You respect its gaming goodness.
I do. There's like a lot going on in that game.
There's a lot going on, especially in the later part of a campaign. It gets really crazy. There's so many factions doing so many different things you can't predict what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I prefer my strategy games to be a little more intimate.
Can't you like automate certain parts of the process if you don't want to do some parts of it?
I don't mean it.
Yeah, there's a lot of automation. You can actually totally skip the like big real time tactics battles which is actually a good thing because like they get kind of tedious when you're doing like yet another siege. You're just like, okay, here I am in front of another French village, and I don't want to go through the 15 minutes of the exact same thing I just did to the other French village. So it's nice that you can do that.
Can you play it like EVE Online? You know, just set it up and then...
No, you can't do that.
Come back. Hey, I won! Awesome!
Hooray me, I
won. Honey,
roll.
I won!
It's good. I enjoy the campaign part of it, the more turn-based strategy. The tactic stuff is really good and, like, it's super detailed when you get down close. It just looks really awesome. But, mm-hmm. like I said, I'm made mostly a campaign player in these kind of games, so the tedium...
What?
I'm trying to figure out. There's like this constant noise.
There's a noise.
I couldn't tell what it was.
I can't even hear it.
Someone's core.
I can't hear anything.
It's my daredevil hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you did you did mention the Evil 2 words there in passing. What the Viva and the Pinata words.
Oh, yeah.
We can't talk about it.
No. Really fast. It's an Xbox 360 game, and it's awesome.
Quite possibly game of the year. I hate to say it.
Are you serious?
Is it like the Sims?
I'm serious.
Everything I've heard about it sounds Sims? Like Animal Crossing. Yeah.
It's Animal Crossing meets The Sims meets Pokemon.
Big giant pacifier for man babies.
Thanks. No, you say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I'll try.
Fucker. Okay. We're going to take a break and come back with less hate.
Please.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. But as long as you're here, let me tell you about EGM Live, the weekly podcast from the editors of Electronic Gaming Monthly, along with the wonderful sounds of... EGM Live comes action-packed with special guests, late-breaking news, fanboy-baiting commentary, behind-the-scenes tales of office tomfoolery, and trivia contests with fantabulous prizes. Download it now at egmlive.oneup.com or subscribe to it through iTunes.
EGM Live is part of the 1UP Radio Network, taped in the Ziff Davis offices in San Francisco. It is not actually live, and contest prizes are not guaranteed to be fantabulous.
And we're back. You were saying, Sean?
See, I'm just trying to keep it real for the hardcore PC group.
You're right. It's a pacifier for a man, baby. It's true. But it's a good pacifier. Mm-hmm. It tastes good.
It's filled with candy.
All right. So we just finished our second issue of Games for Windows Magazine, and I think it turned out good. I think I'm a little biased, but I like it. But there's one story in there that I'm really psyched about and proud of that we did, which is we sent our freelancer Robert Ashley over to Chernobyl in real life, real actual Chernobyl, to check out the whereabouts of the game Stalker, which many of you might remember since we wrote about it, 4 years ago? How long has that game been around now?
Actually probably about 5 months ago or so. Yeah.
Right, but I mean when it first...
Well, we first wrote it up when... it wasn't even picked up by anyone yet.
NVIDIA was using it as like a tech demo.
Exactly, just showing off what DirectX 9 cards can do.
Yeah, if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
So we sent Robert off there, and he bravely ventured to the area around the Chernobyl... nuclear power plant. Has anyone seen Robert since he got back?
Well, he has all his hair still, right?
He does. Yeah. His skin isn't green or anything.
Mm-hmm. He's been trying to have a child, though, and they said his sperm counts are about nothing right now.
Are you kidding?
I'm totally joking.
I was going to feel real bad.
I like you said that in a total straight face.
It's a good article, but man.
Yeah. Wow.
I think like as dangerous.
That's some hardcore journalism.
Some of the dangers he recounts for us in the story are, I mean, just the... going through the Red Forest and just these random packs of now feral dogs because, you know, basically people at Pripyat just got up and left. And so what were pets just kind of had to deal with the world on their own. And
they're not like mutant dogs.
They're not like the dogs in the game. No. So, I mean, the story is just incredible. I mean, Ukraine in general, I mean, he goes into his hotel and, you know, on one side there's just lines of prostitutes. On the other, there's all sorts of weird gambling, and that's just like par for the course there.
I hope he didn't expense that stuff.
He didn't. Did he come brought his Amex.
Did he come up with any mail order brides? You know.
Yeah.
Actually, it was kind of funny. Last time we sent another freelancer out years ago to check out Stalker back in the day, and he was telling me basically you get off the plane and they literally have like pamphlets for like mail order bride services if you want one.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the interesting thing about all this, of course, the trip culminates in a visit to the reactor, you know, now under the sarcophagus, and, you know, they're going there on the bus, and they have Geiger counters all around, and they're checking it out. But just the fact that they're engaging in this kind of eco-disaster tourism for a game, you know, and then they go there and they meet, and their guides are, you know, people that live in the area that work there, and it's kind of like, so what are you guys here for? It's like, we're writing about a video game about this stuff. You know, I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
There's something about it, and definitely, I mean, and Robert handled it really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's obviously, you know, acutely aware of the circumstances and how, mm-hmm. you know, completely absurd it is. But at the same time, pulling something out of there where the team that's making the game is actually, you know, attempting to, you know, it's one way. There are all these stories about what happened and that people use to sort of, you know, give it meaning and make sense of it in different ways. And the game is, you know, looking at the game is one way to do mm-hmm. that, you know. And then, you know, there are all the conspiracy theories around there and stuff. But in terms of those kind of trips, I'm sure we all had never.
I don't know if anyone's going to top Robert Ashley going to Chernobyl.
Yeah, but we've all had some interesting game-related excursions, though, right?
Have we?
Well, the junket circuits have always been kind of crazy, but they've toned down in the past couple of years.
Yeah, it used to be a bigger deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, we should clarify. I don't know if... Well, I certainly didn't. I don't know about anybody else here in your other jobs, but like Ziff Davis is not allowed to go like on the travel junkets. So like every once in a while, something would show up like, you know, come to Spain and see whatever. It'd be like the flimsy excuse, right. You know. Mm-hmm. But we're not allowed to do that kind of thing.
Right. Unless, you know, the company pays for all expenditures.
And that's what usually keeps us from going because we're not going to go spend any money for these crazy trips.
Right, for like a half-page preview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they wanted you to go out to Morocco for Guild Wars Nightfall.
Really?
Right. Yeah, it was for nothing. It was like release party for Nightfall.
Yeah, actually...
Ethics suck.
I know, I got an offer to go to Paris for Heroes of Annihilated Empires.
yes. Wow.
Because it takes place in Paris, apparently.
One bizarre one that I love to tell the story of is had to do with a Rainbow Six game, and over at the Presidio... here in San Francisco, they set it up and they had a bunch of SWAT guys from LA come out and conduct exercises, basically give us a crash, like, mock course in, you know, in a group movement and clearing, entering and clearing rooms and whatnot. And then suited us up in, you know, all the requisite gear, armed us with MP5s that shot pellets, that shot rubber pellets that basically looked 100% like, you know, the kind of things they sell in Japan that they won't sell here because it's basically a good way to get yourself shot in the street walking around with a toy that looks like the real thing. But so they armed us up with all that and then put us in the back of these vans. And then the guy driving the van was one of the SWAT guys from LA, and he was suited up too. So we had full headgear on, you know, our only our eyes were sticking out. We've got, you know, headsets on. And so he's taking us to this abandoned building in the park, in the Presidio, to where we're going to go in, and they have actors playing, you know, terrorists and whatnot, and we have to go in the building, basically rescue some hostages and get out. But on the way there, someone, San Francisco police officer pulled our van over.
Oh, my God.
Now, all the windows are blacked out. There's five of us in the back sitting on crates with our guns slung, you know, in front of us. You know, completely, we can't get out of this stuff because, you know, we've got jackets on over it and, you know, just completely tied down in this crap. And then the guy driving is like, we're like, okay, if this guy opens the back of this door, we are all dead. He's going to flip out. And this was back, this was probably about, you know, I don't know. It was 2000. If it wasn't late, if it wasn't the holiday of 2001, it was 2002.
Okay. No, I remember so it was still raw feelings
right
there.
It was definitely not the time to be having that kind of, you know, mistaken identity thing going on. And so we were, I mean, immediately I just took my mask thing, you know, and I was like, guys, put your guns down on the floor right now. And because at first the officer was talking to the driver and he's like, give me your ID. And the guy was like, hey, you know, we've got permits for all this and stuff. He's like, I'm this and that, you know, LA. And he's like, he's like, in order to get my ID, I'm going to have to reach into my, you know, my overall thing. And he's like, just talking him down. And thankfully, obviously the guy was able to communicate with him in a way that convinced him that, okay, this guy is like the real deal or something. And it was just like awkward. And he reached in and got his stuff. And the guy was like, all right, on your way. But that was one of the more exciting game related
How awesome would that have been if you went to jail?
Yeah.
The actual like crooks in jail.
And the best part
like,
is
looking
like,
at you guys like.
You'd be dressed like terrorists. They wouldn't mess with them.
We're here for a video game. Yeah.
So a lot of the ones I've been to have involved stuff like that. If not, you know, someone went out in Reno and fire off a bunch of high caliber weapons and this and that.
I was really good about ducking out of those ones. Like if there's like,
those
a, you know,
best.
You're going to drive. I'm like, man, I don't want to do that.
The ones
like, hey, it's a game. It's Rayman Raving Rabbit, so let's go learn how to farm rabbits. Like,
for me, it's like I got to go and fire probably about like, and we're not supposed to put the money out, but I know. I mean, I probably shot at least the $800 worth of ammo. Uh-huh. I mean, it's using 50 cals and stuff, and I just sat there like on full auto tearing up a car with it. I mean,
wow.
That was probably a good $100 right there. And then,
wow. I got a helicopter ride from Psygnosis. And they came out here to they took all the game journalists over to the Alameda, some naval base or something. And then they flew us in helicopters across the bay, circled over Candlestick Park, and took us back. And so the thing I learned about that is I never want to go on a helicopter ever again in my life.
Really?
What happened? Scary as hell. I'm just a wimp. It was scary. It was fun.
Someone else in the building, Crispin over at EGM, like actually... jumped from one.
What?
Like with it was like he won. It was another Ubisoft thing.
Wait, did he
I
fast
believe.
Rope down
they
or
had
something?
Like a mini boot camp, and you had to win. Like whoever they, you know, whoever could do this and that, the most push-ups and this, you know, the other physical activities would win.
No thanks.
You get a trip in a Black Hawk, and then eventually you get to skydive with the team. With
Ken
the gear.
You had to do push-ups.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. So it gets really fit. I
mean, freaking gaming journalists.
Actually, it's kind of funny. It reminds me of when
I could do two.
Ken Brown went to boot camp for a couple days. You remember this?
Oh yeah, that's right.
So like it was for one of the Medal of Honor games. I think it was they had Ken Brown and a couple other journalists go do a boot camp with Captain Dale Dye for a couple days. It was pretty funny.
Uh-huh. Mm. I guess my best, my most memorable junket, I shouldn't say it was my best because it was probably my worst, but my most memorable was actually going up to BioWare where you guys went a little while ago for Dragon Age. But I went up there for Baldur's Gate 2 back in the day, and I was, I flew all day to get to Edmonton. Edmonton, where BioWare is located, is like the northernmost part of Canada, like the only thing more north of...
That's a major population center.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's stuff there north of there, but it's like moose and ice. but so I was late when I got in there, and I hadn't had anything to eat. I went out with the BioWare guys, And they like bought me pints of Canadian beer, which if you don't know, is like much more alcohol intensive than American beer. And we had like 6 pints of this stuff and no dinner. And then I went back to my room and promptly threw up all over my hotel bed. Nice. And then basically fell asleep in it. Isn't that a great story?
That's good.
And then there was like this whole time. Like blackout period and where I was passed out asleep. And then my next conscious moment was I could feel like my face was very, very cold. So I opened my eyes and then I saw like wood paneling. And then I like fully opened my eyes and I realized I was laying on the bathroom floor. So the cold was the cold of the linoleum of the bathroom floor, and the wood was the wood paneling of the sink.
That's some hard living there, Jeff. Hard living.
Yeah. And then then a few hours later, I had to get up for the actual Baldur's Gate 2 story, the reason I was there. And, you know, at the time, I was, like, associate editor. Johnny Wilson was my boss. It was, like, the cover story. I had to really work, you know?
Right.
And I was in such bad shape.
Foolishness.
It was awful. I remember I was meeting Ray for the second time. I'd seen him once for Shattered Steel back in the day. But I was sitting next to him at lunch, and he was talking to me very seriously about BioWare and their plans, and all I was thinking the entire time during this interview was, please don't throw up. Please don't throw up. That's my great story.
Yeah.
Actually, from this last trip up there, I got to tell you, this is insane invention. I found, this is one place called Julio's Barrio up there, and it's like an alcohol slush puppy.
Julio's Barrio? That's nice. That's not too racist.
I didn't make up the name of the place. Oh, by the way.
Was Speedy Gonzalez the bartender? Si, senor, welcome.
By the way, on my tour, there's also a Monkey Island bar there.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was kind of cool. But anyway, so they have this drink. It's basically like a margarita glass full of like, you know, ice, slush, whatever. And then they take the Canadian beers and they put them in like at an angle, so it kind of slowly drips into the glass. Mm-hmm. And then they pour in liquor. You jam a straw in and it tastes like, you know, like a shake or a slushy or something. It's awesome. Highly recommend.
Beer and liquor together sounds tasty.
It's magical. Believe me.
We're getting like the wrap-up sign. Is that because somebody else's podcasting?
Yeah, we're supposed to be out of here.
Bastards.
3 minutes.
That's it.
You know, sometimes we're going to...
news, reader letters?
Letters. Let's do letters.
Okay,
it's just EGM coming on after us,
what's
right?
What's the latest from
like those guys
have
anything to say.
Well, I got to do back-to-back. They're here.
Oh. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so some quick letters, and then I have a comment on the after you read the letters on the letter writers' names.
All right,
there's a theme this week.
Yeah, there's a theme.
Well, this first letter comes from Crapalicious.
What will your comment be, Jeff?
Right on. That's my comment.
Are you worried about me farting on the air offending our readers?
It's just this whole podcast is taking a turn.
They're all scat fiends anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
So Crapalicious asks, since you guys are bringing back reviews for GFW. Are you guys going to be giving out Game of the Year awards? If so, what are the different categories going to be?
Well, first, why yes? Yes, we are. Game of the Year is doing a Game of the Year awards in the March issue, I believe.
That's the plan, I think.
March or April.
And the reason for that is that because of our lead time, that allows for us to get to the actual end of the year. So any games released before January 1st will be eligible. And, you know, the categories. They're
same old
what they
categories.
Always are.
But as far as the reviews, though, they've always been there. It's not like they left. It's just that we just started putting
scores. Well, yes. Yeah. The scores are back, yes. And we're doing Game of the Year.
People don't read the reviews. They just want the scores.
Well, they're both back. And what's the second question?
He asked what the different categories are going to be.
No, I mean from the other guy.
Oh, okay.
We're done with Crapalicious.
So Diarrhea Splatter now asks.
Which is Crapalicious, by the way.
Diarrhea Splatter asks, what time do you think a series should stop? For example, the Tomb Raider series. For me, it should have stopped after the first one. So,
I would just say depends. When the team's creative juices run out, right?
Yeah, when it gets to the point you're just putting a different coat of paint on the same damn game, it's time to just call it a day.
Right. Because, like, Tomb Raider, the first one was good, and then, like, Legend was good, and mm-hmm. then everything in between was not. So, like...
Well, was that because Toby Gard left after the first game? Like one of the creators? Is that the case?
There's such a long and complicated story with them.
I know. It's a long, long story.
Well, he went on to make other games that weren't that good.
Well, Galleon never happened. I mean, it took forever to get that thing going.
Right. I mean, that's a really tough question, really. I mean, Ultima made it through arguably 7 good ones.
Mm-hmm. It's like, did you not want another Half-Life after Half-Life 1? You know, I mean, and do you still... And it's like, I mean, with that game, it's like... classic example of I think it speaks for games that make you want more. Because when you're playing it, it hints at enough things. It makes you think about the world without, you know, just reams of exposition. It suggests certain things and leaves questions unanswered so that when it comes back, it's going to do something to expand on those and work them out, you know. But if it's a case where it's just, hey, this is the game that we did before, you know, let's just do another one out. We'll just basically add some new maps to it, change the scripting a little bit. I mean,
that's those, an expansion.
Personally, I couldn't get enough Army Men games.
Yeah, definitely.
It's all about Portal Runner.
I'm kidding.
I think do without another Madden.
EverQuest now on 12 expansions.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really depends.
It depends on the execution of the company. I mean, like, it's not a matter of, like, saying this series needs to die. It's a matter of, you know, like we said earlier, just is the creative juice of the team gone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, yeah, I mean, it can basically happen to anyone. So it's like Call of Duty 2, completely loved it. Playing Call of Duty 3 now.
Oh, you know,
it's
wow.
A different developer. And
I have no desire to play that.
Definitely like, okay, this is pretty much done, you know? I mean,
but is it done? I mean, couldn't they really come back with a Call of Duty 4?
They could. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just depends on the product. You know, I mean, each game sequel has the potential, the very real potential to convince you. I mean, if you're a naysayer, to convince you that, yes, this was definitely worth the work, you know?
Yeah.
But then, and conversely, it can also make you think, okay, why did they do this? You know, why is this game still coming out every year instead of, you know, whatever, taking a 2-year gap between, 3-year gap, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. I had felt back in Tomb Raider's heyday, I was really frustrated when they started kind of crapping those games out, because I felt like if they just relaxed, took a little more time between releases, each one of these could be a big deal, the way Half-Life is. They just like squandered the goodwill of that series.
Yeah. Yeah, the sequel could have been huge. I mean, and 2 was you know, it was pretty well received.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 was by the time people just said, okay,
yeah, that's enough of that.
We're on the treadmill at this one now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, are we done?
Yeah, let me I throw out one last bit of news because I might actually beat the internet on this one. Ooh. Half-Life 2, Episode 2, Team Fortress 2, and Portal, the package that was slated to come out this spring, has now been pushed back to late summer.
What?
So,
whoa. Valve is late?
That's a whole other discussion on what that means for episodic content, and especially when the episodes come out at 14-month intervals or more.
Right.
But for what it's worth, yeah. You can, however, that changes your multiplayer gaming plans for the beginning of the coming year.
Yeah, it kind of sucks for the episodic thing, but in terms of, I don't know, I'm always a fan of, like, wait and get it right, rather than crap it
out. Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, but I think it's probably the episodic thing makes it seem even longer, and in light of, like, you know, Sin, one episode came out, we can't find out anything else about it.
Yeah,
we
what
just
the hell?
Know that they're working on something, you know, when I last spoke to Mustaine over there. And, you know, and that, and with Half-Life and these big gaps, it's really, I mean, you know, how strong are the role models to say that episodic is really working? This is the thing. It's kind of making me think that maybe what you're going to see more of is like what Epic's clearly doing with Gears of War on 360, is that make this game and then make a whole bunch of extra content. Basically the expansion pack model that we've all been used to, but even make them smaller than expansion packs and what happened with Oblivion and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost seems like that's probably going to be the way things go. At least unless someone makes a breakthrough, because, I mean, Half-Life is an episode, everyone's going to buy it, you know, and that's almost its own thing. But you got to look more toward, I think, games like Sin and stuff, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Sam and Max. But
yeah, where
so
is
far,
Sam and Max, second episode?
Well, I think they're saying it's like there's a little bit of a gap because they're looking to just polish some stuff. And the first one launches December. I mean, the next one launches in December. And then after that, they're saying it's going to be monthly after that.
Okay.
So, on that note.
Oh, wait, hang on. Don't you have a comment for Crapalicious and Diarrhea Splatter?
Oh, yeah. I think the comment. You know, my mom. I want my mom to listen to this podcast.
Why do you choose to read their letters, then? Why do you do it?
Well, they ask good questions.
Well, we can use their real names.
Different names.
We can call them, like, Susie. Diarrhea Splatter's not going to be DS.
Mm-hmm.
And Crapalicious.
And if you got, off of our message board,
Circle K.
Here's another pro tip. On our message board, if you click their username, it'll take you to their page, and in most cases, you'll see their real name listed on the left.
Oh. There you go.
That's what I've been doing.
Wow, you're good at the internet.
And tar web.
Okay. Well, we're off now for the holidays. Hooray.
Mm.
Everybody have a good break. And I think we're back next Monday. Are we all in the same place at the same time?
Should be.
All right. We know we let you folks down occasionally with our lateness, and we're sorry, but we should be back next week. Okay, we'll see you around.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.